Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the noon report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are, as always, Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Well, Jason, we'll begin with you. The dust starting to settle a little bit from Tuesday night. What a night that was. Give us your sense of things and what the big headline from Tuesday was from your vantage point, if you would.
Yeah, I think this really sets up things well for Republicans heading into the midterms. If you look at the last election, the presidential election, you saw that largely there was repudiation of President Donald Trump's tone and tenor, but not his policies. Then America voted for a milquetoast commander-in-chief in the current president, but nonetheless, I think the policies now are being rejected, and that's where the electorate seems to be going, is to a more moderate position where they just want some stability, and they want to see their rights respected, whether it be on COVID mandates or it be on parental rights and education. The headline, I think, is going to be parents of the ruling party coming into the midterms.
Yeah, yes, indeed. We're going to form the parents' party here, I think. Michael, if you would, when you look out across not just the state, but across the country, what's your take on Tuesday?
Well, I think first thing is I want to salute Jason and my colleague down there in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Victoria Cobb, and the Family Foundation that did an excellent job in communicating with parents all across the state about what was important in this election. And the results that we see is that there is, as Jason said last week here on the program, the start of what could be called a parents' party. Yeah. And so we, looking at that here in Pennsylvania and across the country, because we're family-oriented organizations, we're going to be working with parents all across here in Pennsylvania and our colleagues around the country to encourage engagement, because this is our time to really make a difference.
Yeah, we had the Tea Party a decade ago. Why not? You know, and part of the conversation when you talk parents is education. I mean, that was one of the main driving forces, was what's going on in our schools. For decades, Jason, Democrats have kind of owned the education issue, or they claim to have owned it. Former Education Secretary Bill Bennett said this week that that is a ball that is now in the court of Republicans, should they choose to capitalize on that. How do they do that with this new political headwinds that they have?
Well, you know, I think for a long time we've said that school choice is an issue that cuts across partisan politics. It doesn't worry about whether you're urban or suburban or rural. School choice is a key issue. And I think candidates that bring solutions, and school choice is one of those, they will bring voters their direction, because parents do want what's best for their kids, and they like options, and school choice provides that for families all across the nation.
Yeah, Michael, this is an issue near and dear to your heart as well. House Bill 1 is a legislation that you are pursuing vigorously in Harrisburg. But if you would answer that same question, you know, this is an issue now, education, that if the Republicans choose to run with it, they can do a lot with it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's exactly right. We've been working with State Representative Andrew Lewis, who's the lead sponsor of House Bill 1. There's been impetus and desire among parents for school choice and expanded school choice here in Pennsylvania for decades. Unfortunately, because of the power of the teachers union, that's been resisted in many ways, even though we have some very robust school choice opportunities here. I think the election in Virginia and elsewhere is a repudiation of the power of the teachers union, and politicians who want to get with a program, as it were, need to listen to parents and stop paying so much attention to the teachers union and the power and the money that they brought behind them.
Yeah. Let's talk nitty-gritty, get to some of the state issues, the five ballot issues in New York. Three of the five failed. Jason, your thoughts on that? Were you surprised?
Well, we're pretty excited about the fact that Propositions 1, 3, and 4 were defeated. I think that really does help protect election integrity here in New York State. So we're encouraged by that, and we're glad to be a part of that victory. We're concerned about Proposal 2. It really was billed as an environmental protection proposal, but I think it's going to mean a lot of lawsuits, particularly for the farming community across the state of New York.
Yeah, and even though it was an off-year election, Michael, turnout was pretty good in Pennsylvania, especially with those judgeships on the ballot.
you had the big state Supreme Court race, but there were also a lot of other judicial nominees up for grabs Tuesday. Your thoughts on the turnout overall?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised to see it because these off-year elections are ones that oftentimes voters just don't pay attention to. Thankfully, they did pay attention this time, and so those results at the state court level are very important, especially the Supreme Court. People have seen sort of our rogue Supreme Court on election issues, on issues of government mandates and the COVID shutdowns, the importance of the courts. And I think school board elections also had a role in the big turnout that we had this time around.
So how do the results, again, if you want to paint with broad strokes, here or use a fine point pen here, Jason, do what you will with it, but how does the results change the trajectory of the Democratic agenda, not just in D.C., but maybe Albany this year?
Well, that's the key question, is whether or not the progressive wing of the Democratic Party here and the Democratic Socialists are going to allow that moderation to occur. I don't think so. But when you have a party that's talking about legalizing prostitution and abortion extremism, what is the moderate position on that? And I think that they're going to fail to be able to course calibrate. And looking to 2022, there could be headwinds behind the GOP once again.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi said even this week, Michael, that it's full steam ahead with Build Back Better, that she's not interpreting the results in Virginia to any repudiation of her policies. What are your thoughts on the trajectory of Democratic policies going forward, and maybe how does this change Governor Wolf's posturing in the final year of his term?
Well, I think Jason's right. I don't think there's going to be much course calibration at all. I think Governor Wolf and these other Nancy Pelosi, they're ideologues. These are the same kind of folks that are saying there is not critical race theory being taught in the schools. These are the people that say boys can become girls just by thinking that they are. So I don't see much change because they're sort of absent a good grasp on reality to begin with.
Yeah, we saw that the vaccine mandate will take effect on January 4th. This is from President Biden. Any company, private or public, with 100 or more workers must get the shot by January 4th. Jason, do you fear with the now you've got the Pfizer vaccine for young kids, do you feel like there's a sense of inevitability that that will now be mandatory to attend school in New York? And maybe your thoughts on the Biden policy and what effect that will have on the labor shortage supply problems we're having right now.
Well, I think that, you know, one person hoping that Governor Kathy Hochul pushes for more COVID mandates is the presumptive Republican gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin. You know, the more that the mandates come out, the better it does help the GOP. That being said, I don't know that it's inevitable at this point, but I think we are looking at courts. And whether it's going to be here in New York or across the nation, you see Republican attorneys general are already looking to challenge that mandate. And I think the mandates are going to be coming to an end shortly.
Pennsylvania Congressman Fred Keller this week, Michael, filed a resolution asking the president rescind this mandate, which we now see is going to take effect January 4th. Your thoughts on what effect this will have in a manufacturing state like Pennsylvania?
It's going to have a terrible effect if this mandate is actually allowed to go forward. Manufacturers in Pennsylvania are having a real challenge getting staffing to begin with, and then if OSHA bureaucrats are coming in enforcing this on Pennsylvania, truck drivers, manufacturers, all of the supply chain issues are going to be a very serious problem.
Yeah. Real quickly, U.S. Supreme Court on gun rights in New York State, a 108-year-old law, concealed carry law. We won't get into the minutiae of what it says, but this is the first gun rights case in over a decade before the high court, and it stems from New York. Jason, what's your take on how that might pan out?
Well, Second Amendment supporters are watching this case with great interest, and essentially it's going to answer the question as to whether or not the Second Amendment means you have a right to defend yourself outside your home. And I think it's hard to see anything but the court looking to restrict some of what New York has done regarding its gun control measures regarding the Second Amendment.
Yeah, Michael, we mentioned House Bill 1, the school choice bill, which you are supporting so vigorously. How do the results in Virginia put a lot more pressure on lawmakers to act here?
I think they do put that kind of pressure on, again, because parents are awakening. They're going to be hearing, you know, we see school board results in counties all across our state that have shown that parents want some transparency in education. They want some options and choices. Mm-hmm. So if the political leaders are listening, I think they're going to be moving towards school choice. We're certainly going to work towards that end.
All right. And just like that, our time is up. It's the fastest 10 minutes in radio. So many issues that we didn't have time, sadly, to go over on this program, but there is information on your websites, and we want to point people's direction there. If you would, Michael, where could folks find out more about you?
We have a new updated website at pafamily.org.
And in New York State, stay informed on all the important issues affecting you and your family. Jason, where can they go?
AlbanyUpdate.com.